Sleeping for 9 hours, and when I woke up it felt like I did not sleep enough. And as I was praying, you know, and seeking the face of God, this idea just came to my mind. I believe it's what God wants each and every one of us to, you know, put our gaze or our minds upon, and it's for us to continually put our face, you know, irrespective of the situations or the circumstances that come around us. It's for us to set our gaze on God. And how do you set your gaze on God? You know, there are times whereby, you know, you're weary to pray. As Auntie rightly said, if you stir yourself up, you know, 5 minutes of prayers, praying in the Spirit, all of a sudden strength comes from nowhere. And I was speaking to my friend that was going through some stuff, And as I was speaking, God just opened a new light, you know, of understanding, whereby sometimes we have those, you know, stints whereby we're weak, whereby we're weary, whereby the affairs of life seems to be crushing us in. And the word that God put in my mind is to continually set our gaze on Him, because the situations around us cannot change. If you don't have money to pay your fees or something, if you continue putting your mind there, it will not change. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, I believe, He says, who by worrying can add a single hour to their life? So sometimes we need to forget, you know, we need to put the past in the past and press on. Put our gaze upon the Lord. Because what we gaze, what we choose to put our face on, what we choose to gaze at, you know, is what is being manifested in our souls, in our minds, in our imaginations. A very good example is, if you want to buy something, you know, you may just see something in a store. If you go back home and start Googling it, checking the specs and stuff like that, all of a sudden there's that strong urge, you know, for you to buy it. It's the same thing with God. You know, when we go through stints whereby we're weak, whereby we're weary, you know, it's not easy. And sometimes when I feel like I don't have energy to pray, that's when I even know I'm meant to pray more seriously, and I take it very, very serious. Because the devil is indeed, you know, rampaging us left, right, and center. But I'll endure us, or I don't know the word, I would encourage us that when we feel a sense of weariness, we should run to the Lord in prayer. Because that's what the devil wants to use, you know, to sever us, you know, from the connection in which we have with God already. Amen.
Amen.
Anyways, I'll just say some things that I touched on, you know, from last week, you know, and we're speaking about the presence of God. Because in this time, God is indeed looking for people that He will use as vessels. People who would not look to themselves. People who would pretty much be a body or a relay switch kind of for the impulses of the Lord at this time. And we spoke of the unity of the body last week, you know. Us keeping ourselves, you know, in holiness, in right, like being right standing with the Lord at all times. I was watching a documentary, and you know, the Roman soldiers back in those days, you know, there was a formation that they took whereby each man held his shield. You know, I don't know how they form this formation though. It's like a circle whereby every man holds his shield, and if arrows come or anything, it won't be able to touch anybody. And in the same vein, I just see us, you know, as believers. I see each and every one of us. The body of Christ is very, very sacred. And, you know, the way we treat ourselves, the way we let things fly and everything, the way we treat our walls pretty much, is very, very important for the body of Christ. And the Lord is very, very jealous of His church. It's something Uncle Sam always says. He always says, it's always the body, you know, before, like the body comes first, you know, in God's eyes, before any individual. And speaking of the body, we need to, you know, not letting offenses come or seep into our walls. Because that's the only way the enemy can actually touch us. The enemy can only touch us when we fight ourselves. You know, when there's fighting between brethren, there's fighting amongst ourselves. It's the problem sometimes is not external, but it's internal, pretty much. And the story of Achan is a very, very good example. Because I know what God is doing in this time, you know, for the body of Christ, you know, is very, very sacred. And He has shown us examples, you know, in the old. Achan, for example, whereby one man made a whole nation, you know, come to its knees. 36 people in number died that day. And Joshua was very, very vexed, you know. And then the Lord fished out what that problem was. And I know here not to put a sense of fear or anything in the hearts of anybody, but the way the Lord operates sometimes is when an individual goes out of line, you know, indications will always come. Sometimes it will come as bad dreams. Several people will have just a feeling of something is not all right. And then sometimes God gives us the chance, you know, to repent a lot of times, you know. And if someone wants to continue in his stubborn ways, a word that is edging closer and closer to exposing you would come gradually. And as words come like that, God is just giving that individual an opportunity to turn his back away from what he's doing. And if you decide not to turn, to reach a day that God is going to expose you pretty much. So it's, we thank God for what God is doing in this house. I know none of us, you know, is going to be a castaway in the end of the day. You know, I pray sincerely for each and every one of us that all of us will be, you know, bound together, you know, with cords that cannot be broken pretty much. Amen. Speaking of, you know, God giving individuals, you know, opportunity, there's something the Bible always says. You know, it says, humble yourselves, you know, before the Lord. If you read that, certain scriptures, so many scriptures will tell us, humble yourself. You know, humility, meekness, all those things, they are all hand in hand. But humility in particular, it's something that God gives us, you know, the chance for us to humble ourselves. It's not God that does the humbling. Because when God humbles a man, it's very, very devastating. And I'd like to just touch on, you know, humility. And then I'll touch on prayer again. And then we'll take up a prayer, you know, for... There was something that while we were praying yesterday, there was not really much time to, you know, just say. But something came back to my remembrance, you know, of something I saw. And this is just praying for the land, praying for, you know, the U of M and everything, you know. I'll just say it when the time comes, pretty much. But I'd like us to, you know, turn to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. And I'll just jump to verse 19, but a brief recap of what was going on here was Nebuchadnezzar, when he had a dream, you know, he was bothered pretty much. He brought all the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and everything, you know, but they could not interpret the dream. And Daniel came, you know, and pretty much explained to Nebuchadnezzar what was going on. I'll just read from verse 19. It's going to be a long reading. I just want us to get the context very well. So then Daniel, whose name, verse 19, was Belteshazzar, was astonished for an hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reached unto the heavens, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. I just want to pick something out here that I don't know if we'll be using, but it's just very, very key or important. It says, whereas the king saw a watcher and holy one coming down from heaven and say, in these times, God has called each and every one of us as watchmen. He has called each and every one of us to, you know, see the affairs of this land, see the affairs, you know, of our environments, the things around us, you know, and execute judgment upon it. So endure us, you know, it's very, very important. There's something when your eyes of, or when the eyes of our spirit man is open, you know, to see the wickedness in the land, or to see some things, you know, things that ought not to be, you know. God has given us responsibility as sons and daughters to execute judgments, you know, to all the things that seem to be, you know, anyhow. Anyways, I'll continue. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wed thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree and roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom, by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? So we see Nebuchadnezzar, you know, exalting, you know, the things that were freely given unto him, you know, by God, you know, exalting it as though it was his own works. And I can't remember who said that now, but I believe it's Auntie, where he said, you know, when you begin to weary, or when we begin, just before, you know, there's a saying that says, pride comes before, you know, your fall. You know, just when you're walking in the glory of your strength or something like that, swiftly calamity will come upon you. And so this Nebuchadnezzar here, he said, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Said, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and he did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. I'll just read to the end. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the land, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven.
and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, and praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abate. Amen.
So, from this story, I just want each and every one of us to look into our hearts, because sometimes the things that happen, you know, to us now, it's not really things that are very, very outspoken sometimes. Sometimes it's just subtle, you know, pride in our hearts. Sometimes just subtle seeds of, will I say, it's not necessarily sin, but it's just the little things, you know, that we sometimes, will I say, neglect, you know, that God is calling each and every one of us to be wary of, you know, because his trials are gonna come, tribulations are gonna come from without and everything. And if we have not, you know, if we don't have our base or our foundation sure, you know, if there's any crack of any sort, you know, it may look like all is well, but when those trials come, you know, it's gonna show. You know, sometimes we do not know the deeds of our hearts until somebody offends us, pretty much. So I just want to endure us, you know, to go to the Lord in prayer, you know, in our private lives, you know, to constantly check ourselves over and over again, you know, and, you know, be careful. The Bible says, take heed, you know, how does it say it? Take heed, lest, yeah. Let he that thinketh stand and take heed lest he fall. You know. So I just see this as a refresher, pretty much, you know, on what we'll be talking about. So humility, you know, another verse that comes to my mind, you know, about humility is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles. And we'll use this scripture to just tie it down with prayer, and then we'll just take prayers as the Lord leads. So 2 Chronicles 7:14. It said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall first what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. Pretty much, when I read this scripture, the understanding that comes is, you know, we cannot come to pray from a self-righteous, or we cannot come when you're already dealing with problems, you know, when you have a log in your eye, and you're trying to remove the smuts, you know, from, you know, the world, or the inhabitants, or the people living around you. Before you go out, you must always look within. You must always look within. And it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and while they are praying, say, and seek my face, you know, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I'll first what? Forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. So it's very important sometimes when we, you know, sometimes when we read scripture, it's just important for us to just take a pause and see the way the order of things come, you know. And it's God trying to send a message to us, you know, sometimes. Or always, not sometimes, pretty much. So on humility, God is dealing with our heart conditions, you know. And a scripture that comes to my mind, it says, blessed are the meek, you know, for they will inherit the earth.
I see humility and meekness. Meekness is that it's not the absence of power, but it's the presence of power, you know, control, pretty much. It says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. It doesn't make any sense when, just imagine somebody is taking advantage of you, for instance, you know, or you're in your workplace and someone is stepping on your toes. There are times whereby inwardly you want to show them that I'm not someone to be pushed over, you know, and sometimes God is telling you, keep quiet. It doesn't make sense, you know, to human understanding that by being meek or having our power in control or seemingly being weak, you know, to the outside eye, how can such a person inherit the earth? You know, all what I've heard growing up, you know, listening to motivational speakers and everything is almost take charge, don't let anybody take advantage of you, speak your mind and do all of those kind of things. But sometimes that's not the route God is calling us. Jesus is a master example for each and every one of us. You see, I put myself in Jesus' shoes, you know, somebody that created the whole world. People say bad things about him. They spat on him. They did so many things. And yet, his prayer was pretty much, you know, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And we see that when Jesus died and he was glorified, all things on earth, in heaven, everything was given unto him. So sometimes when our eyes is gazed on, how can we show dominion or how can we express ourselves? You know, there's power in each and every one of us. But sometimes God tells you to be quiet. Sometimes when someone says something and you can plead your case, God tells you be quiet. Sometimes it's not about being right. I don't know why, to be honest, sometimes I don't know why the Lord will say, Daniel, just be quiet. And it feels like somebody is taking advantage of you, but it says, be quiet. And even though we cannot, sometimes we can't see the end of the story, but we have Jesus as an example, you know, who endured, you know, so much, you know, and went to the cross, you know, for each and every one of us. So, down.
Very good.
Yeah. So Matthew chapter 11, which our sister quoted, I'll just read it and we'll just look at some things through it. You know, it says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. This is verse 28 now. And I will give you rest. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. You know, the Bible tells us to cast all our cares upon the Lord, you know, for he cares. You know, in a people where for God to be able to move or flow through somebody, you know, you must be in a state of, let's say, lightness. You know, you cannot be carrying yokes or bondages, overthinking, how will I pay my rent, how will I do this, how will I do that. You know, you cannot be overcharged, you know, with the things of this life or the affairs of this life. You know, you must cast it on God. You know, you must be light so that God will be able to fill you up with his essence. It says, take my yoke, and it says, well, learn of me. You know, we need to learn, you know, of Christ. When I read the scriptures or when I read Christ sometimes, or the stories of Christ, you know, sometimes when I want to grasp an idea of who God is, I just go back to the scriptures, you know, because every scripture is God breath. It's from him. It's his ways, you know, whereby you see a people who live their lives, you know. Paul speaking of written epistles, you know, lives of people being written epistles. So I look at the lives of everyone that is written in the Bible. It's for a reason, you know, that all of them were there. And I learn from the mistakes that, you know, the people previously made, you know, and I learn from the things that they did good. And I take it very, very important, you know. And I see humility. It says God resists the proud, you know, and gives grace to the humble. Yeah. So I just see that there's a friction, you know, between pride and proud people, You know, Proverbs chapter 6 says there's 6 things, you know, the Lord hates. 7 are an abomination to him. Okay. I'll just open it. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12, I believe. Or 11. Oh, verse 12. Proverbs what? 6:16. Okay, 6:16. Said these 6 things doth the Lord hate. You know, as I read it, when I see the Lord hates, I actually check my life and I make sure I'm not found wanting in that place. Because if there's something God hates, you know, if God hates something, his eyes or his countenance is not gonna be, he's not gonna have it pretty much, you know. Anyways, it says 6 things that the Lord hates. Yea, 7 are abomination unto him. The first thing that is listed here is a proud look. You know, a lying tongue, hands that shed blood, and you can read the rest later. But I'll just take a proud look, you know, for, because that's what our focus is on right now. You know, a proud look, you know, pride. You know, pride comes just before the fall of man. Nebuchadnezzar being an example unto us, you know. There's something I realized, you know, with God. When something is about to happen, you know, he keeps on repeating it in different ways. Looking at my life as a... when I just gave my life to Christ, you know, I had series of encounters whereby it was like people were just warning me. Some of them spoke indirectly, kind of very, very vaguely. But immediately in my heart, I knew what they were speaking about, you know. And, you know, unfortunately, I didn't really heed to their counsel, you know. And then, you know, I had my first fall as a believer per se, you know. And now God is he's emphasizing prayer, you know, to us. He's emphasizing, you know, taking our walk with him very, very seriously in this time. Because I know that in these times, you know, our prayer life, there's something Ricky said. He said the spiritual climate of a church or something is determined by, you know, the prayer life or the what they call it. Yeah, their prayer life, their incense to God, you know, basically is a direct representation of a church at that time. You know, speaking on this, so God is warning us, you know, to take our prayer life seriously. There are times whereby I come back home and I'm very, very weary, or I want to pray and then I don't find strength. But with the little experience that I have, you know, it's those times whereby you're weak. That's where your prayers matter the most. It's those times whereby you're close to, whereby you feel so exhausted, you know. It's when you should actually read the Word of God. It's not easy. You know, sometimes it's a battle. So since the day of John the Baptist, you know, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. So it's a battle, you know, of our minds, you know, of circumstances and situations around us, and we need to take it seriously. All the warnings and healings that God is giving us in this time, it's something that we should take very, very, very seriously, you know. And while preparing for this message, you know, it's just what has been, or the prayers that have been going around pretty much, you know. And I just perceive, you know, people who, some of us, you know, going through tough times, you know, in our private lives of prayer, you know, it's pretty much the same thing God is saying over and over again. And I also want, you know, to when we're done, you know, with the message and everything, I also like, you know, if anybody needs a kickstart, pretty much, that's how it came to my head, you know, in their prayer life, in their walk with God, in devotion or anything, to come. You know, don't care or don't look at the people around you. Sometimes those are the little, you know, pride or seeds of pride, you know, whereby when you call for something, you're looking at who is looking at you, or oh my God, I just dropped word. Like, how can I come for prayer or something like that? Don't care about yourself. You know, in the presence of God, be as babes. You know, the greatest in the kingdom of God is a child. Is a child. And I look at the characteristic. What are the characteristics of children? You know, they are very, very easygoing. If something happens to them, what are the characteristics of children actually? Like, does anybody?
Happy.
Yeah, shameless.
Yeah, happy.
Innocent.
Innocent. Sorry?
forward. Yeah, they follow, they are trusting, you know. And easy, yeah, that's very, very key. Easy to forgive. So when I look at the characteristics, you know, of children, when I look at the characteristics of that which God is saying is the greatest in the kingdom of God. You know, I look at my life and I always find myself wanting, you know. I'm like, God, help me to be as a child before you. Help me to be trusting. Help me to, you know, not look unto myself, to look at my father. I remember while I was growing up, you know, if my dad says something, I take his word, you know, for it, and I hold on to it. In the same vein, when God speaks to each and every one of us, we need to take his word for it. You know, the Bible says they overcame him by the blood and by the words which they confessed. So the words which God gives us, you know, we need to take it as it is. We need to say it over and over until it breaks, until our mind is pretty much broken, you know, for God to flow through. Hallelujah. So, that's almost finished. Anyways, so power, you know, sometimes we're so supercharged with seeing, you know, power outwardly or manifested. But I actually think, you know, real power is in character. They both go hand in hand, you know, they manifest. You cannot be healing, you cannot be giving words of knowledge, you cannot be operating in the gifts of God, you know, and your character is very, very on shaky ground, you know. So I'll just endure us, you know, to go to the Lord, you know, in prayer, on our knees, soberly. Anytime we see anything that is not in line with what Scripture says, it's easy. The answer is very, very easy. Waiting on the Lord is as easy as waiting on the Lord. It's pretty much just going, you know, on your bed in a quiet place, I would advise, you know, and waiting on the Lord, you know. Sometimes you play your music, you know, get you in the zone, you know, and God is always going to speak. Yeah. You know, there are times where Daniel was sharing his story. There are times where I don't feel strength, you know, to come to meetings, or I just want to lie down. But when you come into the presence, you know, of your brethren, strength comes, you know, from nowhere. And then that's what you take, you know, to your closet, you know, and then you stir yourself up. Because the most important walk, you know, is our walk one-on-one with God in our closets. And I'll ask us this question, you know, how serious or how desperate do you take the things of God? You know, how serious do you take the activities of God? Do you put your life, is your life bothered around your activities or the activities of God? You know, are you putting the affairs of this life, you know, in priority over over doing the will of God? You know, when you want to pray or do something, you know, and the devil has funny ways of weakening us, you know, whereby you're about to open your word to pray or something, and then you remember you've not done grocery shopping or what you need to study for a test. Like, that's when all other things come. And with little experience, you know, I've seen that that's when we should pray the most, you know, when all those thoughts, you know, from nowhere, if you're just sitting, chilling, watching a YouTube video or Mount Zion movies, all those thoughts will not come to your head. But when you just say, Jesus, I need to pray. Even if it's an hour, all of a sudden, you know, it's just that friction. There's a little bit of friction. You're not free or you're not loose. And that's where the Holy Ghost comes, you know. He helps our infirmities in the place of prayer. So I want us, you know, not to be deceived by the vices of the enemy. We know his ways. We're not ignorant of his ways. You know? It's the same tactics that he's using over and over again. How can you be falling, you know, for the same thing? You know, the same thing over and over. The devil is doing the same, you know, magic trick in front of your eye. And every time you fall victim to it, it does not make sense. It does not make sense, you know. So I'll endure us, you know, when in any time we feel, you know, the urge to pray. It does not come, you know, it comes once in a while. If you feel the urge to pray, make sure you pray. No matter where you are, thank God you can pray in your mind, you can do anything. You know, the first time the Lord actually spoke to me,
it felt very, very telepathic, you know. And I realized there's power, you know, in thinking. There's power in our thoughts. You know, I can't describe. It has happened to me once and once only. And it's the power of our thoughts, you know. It's the power or the language of, you know, the spirit. Sometimes it's a knowing that you know. It's almost telepathic, you know. I'll just give this as an example. So the first time God spoke to me, you know, I woke up from a nap, and And all of a sudden, it was just so obvious. It was so obvious that it was God. Like, I knew it within me that it was God that was speaking. You know, and it just felt like, as I just asked a question, the answer was already in my mind. It was kind of a very, very intriguing experience, you know. And I just realized, you know, sometimes when a thought passes through your mind, you know, you need to capture every thought. And you cannot just be wandering in your mind anyhow, you know. With other experiences, you know, I just realized there are times whereby, you know, just thinking of a scripture just decimates, you know, an attack or something like that. Sometimes it's not you saying it out loud, you know. This in the realm of the spirit is what, you know, pretty much what you know inside you that matters. You know, that's why we need to build ourselves up in prayer. You know, the sons of Sceva are a very, very good example, you know, of a people, you know, that don't know their God pretty much. You know, Daniel chapter 11 verse 32 says, they that know their God, you know, shall do exploits. You know, so there's a knowing from within us. You know, I think I was listening to a preacher a while back, you know, he said, you see, 85% of God speaking is a knowing, you know, it's a knowing. And in the same way, the way we know God within us, you know, is, you know, when we go out to pray for somebody, you cannot deceive yourself. There are times where somebody comes to me and asks to pray, you know, asks me to pray for them, and I know I don't have the capacity to actually pray. You cannot deceive yourself. Faith is not, it's not head knowledge. It's a knowing. There's a knowing from within you. You know, it's birthed from a place of prayer. It's a place of intimacy with the Lord. We'll speak a little bit about the secret. I'll just jump to the secret place of God. You know, what we do in our closet, you know, when we bow our knees in prayer, you know, there's a confidence that we have that anything that comes our way, you know, there's just that assurance pretty much in everything we do. A very good example is Jesus also, you know. When the storms, you know, of the sea was raging and everything was going, he was sleeping. You know, God wants us to be very, very assured, you know. He wants our confidence to be set on him. And just as children, the way we put our gaze on our parents was sure. I remember when I was young, we used to argue, my dad can beat your father or something like that. It's just that confidence, even though in reality, you know, our father, it may not really be that, but we have that confidence. But how much more Jesus Christ, you know, how much more the God that created the whole earth, if we put our confidence in him as children, you know. Let's go to, you know, we'll just jump, you know, into the secret place of the Most High. Job chapter 28. And if somebody has an NLT translation, it would be very, very appreciated. Job 28. We're reading the whole scripture. Job 28. Amen. Yes, actually, I'll read. People know where to mine silver and how gold is refined. They know where to dig iron from the earth and how to smelt copper from rock. They know how to shine light in the darkness and explore the farthest regions of the earth as they search in the dark for ore. You know, they sink a mine shaft into the earth, far from where anyone lives. They descend on ropes, swinging back and forth. Food is grown on the earth above. but down below the earth is melted as by fire. Here the rocks contain precious lapis lazuli, and the dust contains gold. These are treasures no bird of prey can see, no falcon's eye observe. No wild animal has walked upon these treasures. Speaking of the things underneath, no lion has ever set his paw there. People know how to tear apart flinty rocks and overturn the roots of mountains. They cut tunnels in the rocks and uncover precious stones. They dam up the trickling streams and bring to light the hidden treasures. Said, but do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? Said, no one knows where to find it, for it is not found among the living. Hallelujah. Said, it is not here, the oceans, says the ocean. Nor is it there, says the sea. It cannot be bought with gold. It cannot be purchased with silver. Its worth is more than all the gold of Ophir. You know, greater than the precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Wisdom is more valuable than gold and crystal. It cannot be purchased with jewels mounted in fine gold. Coral and jasper are worthless in trying to get it. The price of wisdom is far above rubies. Precious peridot from Ethiopia cannot be exchanged for it. It is worth more than the purest gold. But do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? It says it is hidden from the eyes of all humanity. Even the sharp-eyed birds in the sky cannot discover it. Destruction and death say, we've only heard rumors of where wisdom can be found. God alone understands the way of wisdom. He knows where it can be found. For he looks throughout the whole earth and sees everything under the heavens. He decides how hard the winds should blow, how much rain should fall. He made the laws for the rain and laid out the paths for the lightning. Said, then he saw wisdom and evaluated it. He set it in a place and examined it thoroughly. And this is what he says to all humanity. Says what? The fear of the Lord. Let's say it together. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. I'd like us to, you know, we'll just look at some scriptures and then we'll speak a little bit more in depth about this. I believe Psalm 91, it speaks of he who dwells, or that dwells in the secret place. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noises of pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by noonday, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh their dwelling place. You know, speaking of plagues, Job is a very, very good example, you know, of someone who, you know, ironically, the scripture I just read is Job also. Someone who concretely understood, you know, the secret place of God. It's a place of assurance. It's a place of, you know, where your feet is, you know, like very, very assured. You know, you're not moved by the situations around you. You know, you've put your eyes, you know, you look up to the hills, you know, from whence cometh your help, you know, and everything. So the secret place of God is a place of, you know, communion. It's a place of prayer. It's a very, very important place. You know, it's a place whereby a believer cannot neglect it, you know, because that's where we draw strength. You know, we're just reading about drawing strength, you know, from God. Strength is drawn in the secret place of the Most High. You know, it's a place whereby no wisdom of man, no nothing that is on this earth, you know, it says it's not found among men. Wisdom is not found among men. Understand, it's not found on this earth itself. You know, scripture comes to my mind. It says our conversation, you know, is in the heavenlies, you know, where God is. As believers, we cannot judge things, you know, by our sight. We cannot be reproving things. Somebody cannot offend you and then you take it very seriously. You need to see the spirit that is ministering to the person sometimes, you know. I remember a while back, I was asking God for the spirit of discernment, you know, to be able to discern spirits. And it's funny, you know, that's when he explained, you know, a series of events. I'll just say it is a little bit out of line, but it's very, very key also for believers, you know. And he said, he started putting my attention more to what goes on, you know, behind somebody. You know, when I understood, like, concretely, you know, that the devil is the one trying to, you know, break, you know, he said you break the hedge, the serpent will bite. So all what the devil comes, as a man is fortified as a city, you know, like walls builded around us. The Bible says he has hedged us, or he has beset us behind and before. Like, there's no excuse. The devil cannot come and touch you. Job is a very, very good example. The devil had to come and seek permission. Sometimes when the devil bites somebody, you must be putting your hand outside, you know, your covering. And that's the only time he can get you. So as a believer, there should be no fear whatsoever in anybody. Our confidence must be in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Anyways, he gave an example, you know. I think the first day I went to service, you know, and somebody, this is a long time ago, you know, and, you know, I can't remember the exact details, but I'll just give it in a story form. So it's just like somebody comes and, you know, steps on my foot, you know, it's an honest mistake, actually, you know. And I wanted to manifest. Yeah, because I thought the person was, yeah, I know, I can't remember the exact story. I know somebody did something and I was about to, you know, like what's up? You know, and all those kind of things, you know. But it's like, what's up with the very, very, you know, there are some times whereby when you say something, it sounds very innocent, or it's just, but it's coming out of a place of bitterness or something like that. Anyways, so the person did that, I can't remember what exactly, and God just reminded me, you know, and said, be careful, you know, don't break your head, you know. And he continued explaining how, you know, when somebody gets angry, for example, if, just imagine someone is whole now, you know, the devil, the only way he can get him is by making him angry, right? So when you are angry, you open a door, you know, or you leave a crack in your defense, you know, and then the spirits, it's just spirits moving gangs, you know, in clans, you know, and everything. So a spirit will just, so there are spirits that are synonymous to themselves, they are yoke fellows. You know, they go around afflicting people together. And the spirit of anger, malice, bitterness, you know, even up to murder, you know, just strife. I know they move around together. It's very, very true. You know, and just picture a person fortified, you know, without any blemish. And the person gets angry. I mean, we've all been there. You're angry with somebody, all of a sudden, you're no longer really angry with the person, or you just don't want to speak with the person. You know, malice, bitterness. You just be like, what's wrong? Why don't you guys talk? I just don't feel like talking. Like, we're just good. It's all bitterness, you know, malice. You know, the anger might have gone some way or somehow, but bitterness is still there. And there are times where, you know, through the affairs of life, when the devil is able to isolate somebody, you know, with stress and so many things, you know, that's why somebody will carry, you know, a rope you know, and go and hang themselves, or somebody that has been dealing with so much hurt after a long time, you know, when spirits are ganged up against, like beside them, round about them, you know, all of a sudden somebody that cannot or does not have the, let's say, strength or capacity to do something will just say, carry a gun and shoot their friend. You know, it's a gang, you know, of demons that we need to be very wary. And then when our eyes are open to see what's going on beyond the sphere of the natural, you know, the when somebody is trying to, you know, the offense of people becomes too small, you know, for us. It's because our what they call it, our bodies, you know, what the our treasure within us is too important, you know, for us to be toiling with dogs, you know, for us to be getting offended, for us to be breaking our walls, you know, creating cracks, you know, round about us. So back to what I'm saying, it's a little bit of a digression, but it's still in line, you know, our secret place, you know. I can't remember where, I just saw something and it's, sorry. So the Lord is our refuge, you know, he's our fortress, he's our buckler, he's our shield. We cannot afford to go out of the protection of the Most High. And that's why it's very important for us to exercise ourselves, you know, in the place of prayer, exercise ourselves in the place of devotion, because that's where the Lord speaks to us. The things that God tells me, it's not the same thing that he'll tell through me. That's why it's not very good to judge your spiritual walk with what God is telling someone beside you. I know somebody that does not watch TV, for instance, you know. And I mean, maybe I'll see the person manifesting and doing something like that. And me too, I think the secret is actually television. Well, it might not be television, it might be my appetite, you know. It might be, you know, God makes requirements. It's in our secret place that he drops seeds in us. He drops, you know, things in us that we ought to, you know, dissociate or disassociate, whatever. Anyways, we need to disassociate ourselves, you know, from all those things, you know. And that's where the power of God will be made manifest. Yeah. Just speaking of consecration, as we did last time, that's a believer's consecration. That's the, you know, those are the things that Paul would say, dead weights, you know, that so easily besetting. You know, he said all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but don't be brought under, you know, the power of anything. So there are little things, you know, whereby sometimes God is giving you a direction, you know, eat once a day. I mean, it's not your law or anything, you know, but you don't know, maybe the thing that is your weak point might be gluttony, you know, just standing beside you, you know, or don't watch TV. You know, I've seen people, there are people where, I mean, they have the capacity to just watch something and just stop it anywhere and continue their lives. But then you want to, you say, oh my God, God has given an instruction, don't do this. You see your neighbor watching TV and you go and do it. And then now you're binge watching and you cannot control your appetite. As a believer, we need, it's very important for us to be able to control our appetites, you know, from food, you know, to anything, sleep, anything, you know. Sleep. Yeah. Yeah, sleep. Anyway, yeah, sleep is. Huh? Yeah, sleep is actually a big one. And sleep is very, very key, you know, because in these times, we cannot be, whereby people are enchanting, doing so many things. As a believer, I cannot be turning, you know, to and fro. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest, you know, and poverty. Poverty can, it's not only, you know, poverty, you don't have money, but it also speaks of spiritual virtue. You know, it speaks of virtue. So if somebody is twisting and turning every night, which is not really good, I don't think, because the battle we're fighting, you know, the battle we're fighting, there are some people that don't give sleep to their eyes, you know, until the agenda of Satan is brought, you know, in a land, until agenda. Some people don't even know that the devil is using them. And they are working so much, you know, they are doing so many things, you know, day and night. And then we as believers, you know, we like to rest in the grace. Everything is about grace, you know, but some things don't work like that, you know. It doesn't work like that. We need to take our prayer life very, very serious. There are so many times whereby I come, you know, and I bow down my head. Sometimes it's actually, I'm very, very tired, actually, you know, and
you know, I'll just be like, let me just doze off a little bit, and you know, while the worship is going, you know. But I remember in me, you know, there's something that is uneasy in me, you know, to continue praying. And when I continue praying, you know, it's like the sleep all of a sudden just evaporates, you know, for some time. Sometimes they battle for almost 5-10 minutes, you know, and then sleep will suddenly go. And then the Lord will minister something, you know, specific for myself that if I was sleeping, you know, I might have missed it, you know. There are times, you know, it's very important for a believer to understand times and seasons. Mm-hmm. Says for there's a time for everything, you know, under the sun. There are times whereby God wants us to be in a particular place for a particular reason. Mm-hmm. You know, you cannot be making petty excuses like your head is paining you, and then you miss, you know, where sometimes when you're in tune with God, it's impossible for you to miss where you cannot be at the wrong place. Wrong place at the wrong time. It's impossible. It's very, very impossible. When we have constant communion with God, you know, to the extent whereby, God, should I be here at this time? You can never be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I was listening to someone a long time, a while back, you know, and I was just explaining how, you know, so many people, and I just checked it, it's actually true. You know, so many people or believers that get into accidents, maybe survive by the skin of their teeth. You know, they'll say, I felt, you know, it was doing me somehow, you know, that morning or something like that. That's how God sows, you know, little seeds in our hearts. And we cannot afford to let, you know, headache or let tiredness or weariness. It's too small. You know, we need to always, you know, come into the presence of God. We need to always be, you know, where God wants us to be, pretty much. Anyways, back to the secret place. I'd like us to go to Proverbs chapter 2, sorry. And it says, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, don't forget something. I'm just writing now. Anyways, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand what the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For God, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So we read previously, there's a, like asking, you know, it's almost like Job giving a kind of a short poem or something of that nature, you know, the destruction and death. He said, we've only heard rumors about wisdom, knowledge, understanding, or stuff like that. It's faint, you know. But then this scripture here tells us, it says, well, if thou cry, and last week we spoke about the cry that God puts in us. One of the signs that we're children of God is the ability that we can cry to God. You know, he said he sent forth his spirit in us, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. If you seek God diligently, you'll find him. Yes. He said, knock and shall be. Seek and shall be. I'm trying to remember. Ask and shall be given unto you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door shall be opened. All these things are principles. Are principles where, you know, you see people, even unbelievers, you know, there are things that they do and they find results. You know, there are things that they do and they are very, very successful in. Because our God is a God of principles. You know, he makes rain shine both on the just and the unjust. Like, God does not bend his ways because you're a Christian or something like that. No. We need to be people that observe, you know, the principles of God. It's very, very key. So here, if we cry unto God, if we seek, you know, it says seek, verse 4. It says, if thou seek for silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, you know, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord
If we go to a place of prayer, if we seek God concerning an issue, not wearying or not getting tired. You know, I remember a while back, you know, actually it's still up till now though, but I remember those days whereby, you know, you're a new believer and you're just tempted to always ask questions, you know. And then one day, I just had the nudge to wait for God to actually answer me. It took about a day or so, but the understanding for the question actually came, you know. And in the same vein, you know, when we put our mind, God, what should I do in this time? It's time for school. It's time to get married. It's time to do this, you know. What does God actually require of you to do? You know, what does God actually want you to do? We need to live a life of being dependent on the Lord. You know, the Holy Ghost is an example of being dependent on the Lord. It says he would speak only that which is... I think we should go there. Does anybody know the scripture whereby it says verse 12 is very important. It says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. You know. Just take note of what he said here. He said, he has many things, you know, to say unto them, but they cannot bear it now. Our relationship with God is a speaking, our God is a God that speaks, you know.
What chapter?
John 16, verse 12. And we'll be reading to probably verse 16 or verse 14. It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in what? All truth. For he shall not speak of himself, you know, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. Verse 14 is very, very key. It says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath is mine. Okay, yeah, we'll stop at verse 14. But the Holy Ghost is an example that we need to follow. Because it says, whatsoever he shall hear, you know, of me, pretty much, that shall he speak unto you, and he'll show you the things to come. Sorry, I'm looking for something here. It says, he shall know what? Speak of himself. You know, the Holy Ghost is an example, you know, of us, you know, as believers. We do not walk according to our dictates and our mandates. As the Holy Ghost hears from God and gives us. So when God speaks to us, you know, through his Spirit, we need to follow, you know, we need to obey his voice without hesitation. You know, as spiritual beings, you know, we need to come to a place of, you know, it's a tussle. Sometimes you have second doubts and anything. But at some point, it should be very, very fluid and very, very, you know, spontaneous pretty much. If God says, do something, you know, sometimes while we're thinking and everything, that's when doubt starts coming, you know. That's when we start thinking of situations that are pretty much impossible, actually. You know, that's where overthinking comes, you know. Where when we have situations in our life, when we put our gaze on those things, all of a sudden we start seeing scenarios that are not actually there. You know, you start thinking and bringing foreign ideas that are not true to the situation. You know, if somebody offends you, for example, the person might not even know sometimes, you know, and you're just like, oh my God, I knew it. Like, this person has been this. Before you know it, you'd be like, God, why does everybody hate me? Like, nobody, not everybody hates you. It's just when it's just an example of what we put our eyes to, you know, it becomes magnified. And that's why God is trying to take our direction, you know, to him, to always put our eyes on the Lord, no matter the situation, no matter the things around us. Yes, we can feel it. Does that mean you won't cry? Does that mean you won't feel pain? But I don't find myself, you know, dwelling in sadness. It's a lie. It's impossible. Like, God is too much, you know, for me to be dwelling in pain, for me to be dwelling in hurt, for me to be dwelling in things that don't make sense, pretty much. So I'll just like us, you know, to have that at the
front of our minds, you know. To have that at the front of our minds, always. Don't look at your situation. Just look at what God is saying. Don't look at, when you don't have money for your tuition, do you see why God did not provide, why the money was not there in the first place? Sometimes it's a place for you to cultivate, you know, build a relationship with Him. And then you're crying, you're doing so many things. What if you went to school that semester and you didn't even do well or something happened? You never know. You know, we need to, he said, all things work together for good. For those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. We need to be called according to the purpose of, you can't be walking outside the mandate of God and be quoting that scripture. That's not what the scripture says. We must be walking according to the mandate of God for that to happen. So if something bad happens, I'm not moved by any situation. I'm not moved by, you know, I'm not moved, you know. I find there are times whereby I cry, but when I cry, that's it. I cry there and then. I'm not a sociopath or a psychopath, you know. Sometimes when some things hit me, it hits me, but when it's lingering longer than it should, you know, that's not from God. That's not from God. We should be able as believers to operate, you know, irrespective of our circumstance.
That's right.
We should be able to be, I'm looking for a very good example here. You know, we should be disconnected, you know, from our circumstances, because we're just in this world. We're pilgrims, you know, in this world. We're just passing through, you know. And it's God that made us. Sometimes when I have any problem, I remember it's God that brought me here. You know, it says all things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, whether life, whether death, any situation. It's part of the process. You get it, right? So I'm not moved by anything. I'm trying to, there's a scripture that speaks of mock. There are some times whereby you find yourself groaning in situations that you should not be. It's nice sometimes for people to be telling you sorry. You know, sometimes the pity party, pretty much, you know. We need to be very careful. We need to be very, very careful. So I'll just wrap up, you know, around here. You know, God wants us to move, I wrote down here, you know, kind of a spiritual swagger, where you're not moved by anything, where you're not moved by your circumstances, where you walk in boldness. If they say somebody is sick, and we need to be very, very connected. All these things are all connected. From humility, God resists the proud, remember. He cannot even be with you. It's not that He won't be with you. He resists and He opposes you. So from humility to our consecration, to our prayer life, you know, they all need to be mingled together. We all need to be working as a well-oiled machine. You know, you cannot just be doing oil change and forget to do your transmission flush. At some point, your car is going to have a problem. You know, or if you do not, if you do, sorry, I just remember something. We need to move as a well-oiled machine, you know. Yeah. We need to be connected to the Lord at all times. You know, and then you find out that you're moving with swagger. You're not bothered by your situation. You're not bothered by circumstances. You know, there are times whereby somebody is coming and they're saying, Daniel, are you not bothered? You know, Osi, are you not bothered? Look at what's happening. But you're assured, you know, in God. You know, your foot is, you're just standing in Him, you know. So God wants us to be, you know, spiritual, move with spiritual swagger, you know. And He wants us, you know, when we're so connected to the Lord, it's so easy for us to perceive danger. You know, when you don't pray for a long time, you know, there are times whereby your sense of discernment is very, very skewed. You know, you cannot tell what is right from wrong. And the scripture that comes to mind is in Hebrews chapter 4, I think. I'll just read the scripture and then from there we'll just pray and be done. Hebrews chapter 5. It says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. It says, but strong meat belongs to them that are full of age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I was looking at this scripture, I said, what does it mean to have your senses exercised?
You know, what does it mean for your senses to be exercised? You know, and the thought that came into my head was, you know, it's in a place of prayer. Strong meat, you know, in the tabernacle, this thing.
Layouts.
The lampstand and the shoe bread, you know, are in the same place. How can you? Okay. The lampstand and the shoe bread are in the same place, you know. When we find that our study with the word, you know, or the word, there's no understanding, is to tell you that you need to step up, you know, your game in the place of prayer. Prayer and reading of the word go hand in hand. You cannot be a prayerful person and you won't be drawn to the word. It's very, very key. God, Jesus told us to watch and pray, you know, always. You know, it's the only thing he says, pray without ceasing. Yeah, pray without ceasing. Always be aligned. Being without ceasing means we should always be, you know, in tune with what the Lord is saying. You cannot, your battery should not be on 50%. It should always be on 100%. Because when it's 50%, you know, I mean, some of our phones, you know, throttle, when your battery is low, you know, it throttles, they throttle your, what do they call it? Your CPU and all of those things, you know. We need to always be fully charged with the Lord. That's what it means to pray always. So it says, those who by reason of use have their senses. It's through prayer, you know, reading of the word. And when we're aligned with God, when we're praying, when we talk to God, he speaks back to us, you know. And that's how we can have our senses exercised. When we obey him, you know, when he speaks, you know, when we pray, when we read the word and we walk according to the mandates of God. You know, when he tells us to do something, you know, and we do it, it's baby steps. That it's just like baby steps. The more and more you'll be able to trust God, the more and more you'll be able to discern what is good and what is bad. You know, when God tells you to do something today, or when God says don't go to this place, something bad happens, you know that I should listen to God in that way. So God wants us to, you know, have our senses exercised, strong meat, you know, speaking of the word of God, you know. It's only by prayer. For you to understand what God wants to say, all those high-sounding things, it's in your secret place that God teaches you so many things. He teaches you so many secrets, you know. Specifically for you. So in our place of prayer, you know, God wants us to take things that are specific to us, you know, and draw our strength from us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anyways, what I saw, you know, and we'll just pray and take it to our place of prayer. I know we were praying in Daniel's house a long time ago, and it's interesting that Daniel had the same revelation, you know, and it was just, while we were praying, I just perceived a dragon, you know, in this view of him. I felt like it was feasting on the souls of men. You know, and I think I told Daniel, and Daniel said he had something similar to that, like 2017 or thereabouts, you know. And I think it's something that we need to, somebody's call dropped. I think it's something that we need to take very, very seriously. When you are in tune with what God is saying, we won't be walking and be beating the air. He'll be giving us more specific directions, you know. We'll be acquainted with what God is saying, you know, in this hour. And I also like us, you know, just to pray for those who come to school. You know, so many people come, you know, from godly backgrounds, and then they lose their faith, you know, by friends. You know, they see it as an excuse to do the things which they could not do when they were in their parents' house, you know. And I've seen so many of my friends that came, you know, and they're just anyhow, pretty much. And some of them from very, very strong, you know, backgrounds back home. And also when we're praying yesterday, you know, I just perceived the fire of God. And we're going to pray, you know, for the fire of God. And then I saw the fire of God going to, you know, individuals and everything. You know, I just heard a fire of enablement. You know, fire of enablement. And then it took me back to, you know, when I gave my life to Christ. Whereby, you know, you have the ginger to do things that you could not do. Could sit down in hours, you know, listening to the word of God. You sit down hours, pray. You know, some of us had very radical, conversions, you know. Some of us had very radical, yeah, born again experience, some of us had very, very radical, and it seems as though the smoke is dying. Nah, it should not be like that. You should always be on fire for the Lord. You should have a volatile and voracious appetite for the Lord. Hallelujah. So we'll pray. I just saw fire, you know, just coming, you know, on us, you know, enabling us. And the thing that came to my mind is our child, you know, our born again experience, you know, when we had those appetites, you know, those strong desires and hunger and longing. And in some of us, it seems like the fire is almost, is dying out, it's as embers, but we'll fan the flame. You know, the Lord, I want us to, you know, open our arms, you know, cry unto God. Remember, we're sons of God. You know, there's a cry that we ought to cry, each and every one of us specifically. You know, cry to the Lord. Remember the things. Remember your baby steps. It's very important. I was listening to a sermon, and the lady was speaking about baby steps. You know, the songs that you know, the songs that we're listening to that you just didn't know who God was before. You know, and then there was just that happiness or joy that it sprung forth from you. Sometimes we need to revisit those things. You know, that set us ablaze before. And I'll just have, I don't know if anybody wants to read the prayers, but we'll just pray, you know, for, you know, fresh fire. I just perceived as we're praying that the fire of the Lord, you know, just engulfed us. And that's how it came, pretty much. Amen.
Amen.
Brother, let us begin to speak to the Lord. Sorry, can we sing a song?
Yes.
That's what it says. We so highlight that.
We saw.
appreciation of prayer as a necessity, not an option. And our prayer points will be taken from Daniel 4, verse 34. And I want us to read the first verse together. Just follow me. Read it and watch for me when I say stop. One, two, go. And at the end of the day, I am the head. Pray on my eyes. Stop. What did Nebuchadnezzar do? He turned his eyes to heaven. He lifted up his eyes. That's where the help comes from.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. I don't know what anybody is doing. You can lift up your eyes to heaven. You can just set your gates on that. That's where the help comes from. Have you ever wondered why the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of God? It is called the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Help. Every spirit identifies itself by name, and its operations are known by the things it expresses to the human being. Is it the Spirit of Lust? The Spirit of Lust is restless in person, you find yourself just being lost. Spirit of pride, spirit of anger. When it comes to Holy Spirit, the spirit of what? Of grace. That means in the Holy Spirit is help provided. To ascend, as we're singing, higher and higher we go. For the counsel is God. Look up. That's the emphasis. And the only way you can look up is to see prayer as a necessity. Whether I feel like it, whether I'm in a good mood or not, it is a I need to survive. It is not a matter of what I'm feeling in my head, but it is a necessity of where my help comes from. Very this morning, let's begin to look up unto God. Say, Lord, I look for strength. I look for strength. I look for the Lord. I'm tired of looking at myself. Say, strength coming from my own. What will you do? Thank you.